Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to this beautiful morning of Rainbow Mennonite Church. It's time to celebrate our journey in life, in faith, in community, and throughout the world as we reach out in the name of love. Let us join together as we share in this morning's prayer. It is, we'll need to turn to the inside of the bulletin. We have a response there. Let us be in the spirit of prayer together in the community of faith. Come, let us worship God, who laughs and cries with us. Let us praise the one whose suffering encompasses the breadth of our pain, and whose delight surpasses our deepest joys.
Is they ground our worship in with listening. Imagine who in the world today might have this prayer on their lips. In other words, let's try to listen with a spirit of empathy for the suffering of those in this world. Those who have lost their sense of safety and identity and community, material possessions, at the hands of a perceived oppressor or enemy. We may not feel able to pray these prayers, but can we at least have empathy for those who do? And on this 4th of July week, with all the patriotic displays, I think of that phrase in the national anthem, bombs bursting in air. Perhaps these anguished songs invite us to think of those whom these bombs strike. Today I've asked David to read two of these songs. Again, they're referred to as imprecatory songs, those who ask that God's vengeance would rain down on the oppressor. I ask David not to hold back, to pray these with the anguish with which they were written and received by people of faith. Some believe that Psalm 58 was written by King David after King Saul tried to kill him. And Psalm 137 is a mournful song commemorating the captivity of Israel in Babylon. It expresses the longing and hope that God would make the enemy Babylon suffer as a result of its oppressive ways. And last thing in the way of introduction to say is this. What if we understand these songs as not as the voice of God addressing humans, rather the voice of common humanity speaking to God about the harsh realities of this world?
Psalm 58. Do you really speak what's right, you gods? Do you really judge humans fairly? No! In your hearts you plan injustice. In your hands you do violence on the earth. The wicked backslide from the womb. Liars go astray from the birth. Their venom is like a snake's venom, like a deaf cobra, one that shuts its ears so it can't hear the snake charmer's voice or the spells of a skillful enchanter. God, break their teeth out of their mouths. Tear out the lion's jawbones, lords. Make them dissolve like water flowing away. When they bend the bow, let their arrows be like headless shafts, like the snail that dissolves into slime, like a woman's stillborn child. Let them never see the sun. Before your pots feel their thorns, whether green or burned up, God, sweep them away. But the righteous will rejoice when they see vengeance done, when they wash their feet in the blood of the wicked. Then it will be said, yes, there is a reward for the righteous. Yes, there is a God who judges the people of the earth. Psalm 137. Along Babylon's streams, there we sat down, crying because we remembered Zion. We hung up our lyres in the trees there, because that's where our captors ask us to sing. Our tormentors requested songs of joy.
Sing us a song of Zion, they said.
But how could we possibly sing the Lord's song on foreign soil? Jerusalem, if I forget you, let my strong hand wither. Let my tongue stick to the roof of my mouth if I don't remember you. If I don't make Jerusalem my greatest joy. Lord, remember what the Edomites did there on Jerusalem's dark day?
Rip it down!
All the way to the foundations. That's what they yelled. Daughter Babylon, you destroyer, a blessing on the one who pays you back the very deed that you did to us. A blessing for the one who seizes your children and smashes them against the rocks.
Mennonites have historically lifted up nonviolence and pacifism as the will of God and the way that Jesus taught and fully embodied. Talk of swords and vengeance, retaliation, makes many of us feel uneasy. It's no wonder we don't hear these songs read very often. Many of us probably have never probed them, giving them the attention that perhaps they deserve. Equally troublesome for many of us is the idea that God could be capable of vengeance. The God many of us feel led to worship is the God of peace, the God of right, just, merciful, compassionate relationships. Us love to sing the hymn, "We are people of God's peace." So again, many of us, myself included, don't always know what to do with these prayers that speak or direct God toward vengeance, whether that's human or divine. I mentioned a seminary professor earlier. The same professor, Dr. Perry Yoder, often spoke of the time he and his family spent 4 months in the Philippines. He was writing a book about peacemaking and nonviolence, and he knew that any book that talked about global peace needed to be in conversation with the third world context, poverty, oppression, and the struggle for change. So off he and his family went, and this experience completely shattered him, caused him to totally revise his book. He came home to the United States wondering whether the very talk of peace as the absence of violence, whether this was a middle class luxury, specifically a Western middle class luxury. There he was in the Philippines, trying to see how peace looked through the eyes of the oppressed. He quickly saw how his advocacy of peace as nonviolence was interpreted as his support for the oppressor, or at best, a cosmetic modification of it. Peace, he came home to write, as narrowly defined by an absence of violence, was simply a luxury the oppressed could not afford. And talking of peace too often sounded like the language of oppression, used by oppressors to keep the oppressed in their place. He writes this in a book called Shalom, God's by the Bible's word for salvation, justice, and peace. A wonderful book. In this book, he challenges those of us who want to claim peacemaking today as the work. might be stanza two that reads, God who still a sword delivers rather than a placid peace. With your sharpened word, disturb us from complacency release. Save us now from satisfaction when we privately are free, yet are undisturbed in spirit by our neighbor's misery. Too often, writes Perry Yoder, Christian God talk is insensitive to suffering and the shattering effects of violence and exploitation upon others. And too often, Christian God talk focuses narrowly on sin, on personal morality, not on human suffering. And so my hope and prayer, especially as we think of Mennonites gathering this week, Mennonite Church USA in Orlando, that we modern-day Mennonites don't fall into that same trap. Hopefully we can yet grow in our sympathy for those who have vengeful proclivities, trying to understand where they might be coming from, what shaped it in the first place, and then from there encourage dialogue about this with God and with others. Well, I think of my time three years ago in Israel, Palestine, and the cries of anguish that I heard during my short time there. After that experience, I will never read the Psalms the same way again. We were working primarily with Palestinian peacemakers, but we know that there are obviously cries of anguish and hurts and shattering violence for Israelis and Palestinians. And we'll spend a little more time today after worship probing that a little bit more. I hope you can stay. I know many people while I was there expressed worry about my exposure to that pain. Would it be too overwhelming, people wondered. And I appreciated that concern. Fortunately, I had a community of learners and prayers around me who encouraged me actually to be a little shattered, to let myself and my life be disrupted a little, so that hopefully I could return to my homeland with new awareness of the ways exploitation and injustice affects people's lives, and the way we are so often complicit in that. Well, more locally and more recently, while I was in Alaska, I heard the verdict involving the death of Philando Castile, the man, the young black man, shot and killed on July 6, a year ago, after being pulled over by a police officer in a suburb of St. Paul, Minnesota. Philando's girlfriend and her four-year-old daughter were in the vehicle. Philando was shot at seven times while sitting in his car, and he died soon after. And on June 16, this officer was acquitted of all charges. Now, I don't want to stand here and get all vitriolic. I don't know what I would have decided if I was on that jury. I don't think any of us can know that for sure. There are things that we simply do not know. But boy, did I feel a sense of deep anguish over that decision and so many court decisions as of late involving the deaths of people of color, not just at the hands of police officers. There is so much in our world today that makes people of color feel as if their lives and bodies don't that struggle of deeper awareness, of justice seeking and compassion seeking. And I am so grateful for those in this congregation who remind me of the importance of this work over and over. One of the most gripping reports that I heard following the verdict was a pairing of the recording taken in the vehicle that day of the little girl and what she is saying, paired with Psalm 44, of the cry of anguish of those who have experienced oppression. I'll find a way to share that if you're interested. I mentioned the hymn that I find so moving in 135. I want to read this as the closing to this sermon, as a prayer that keeps me, hopefully, from getting too comfortable, allowing our lives to be slightly disrupted, especially those of us with greater privilege. The hymn writer prays, God, who in your holy gospel wills that all should truly live, make us feel our share of failure, our tranquility forgive. Teach us courage as we struggle in all liberating strife. Lift the smallness of our vision by your own abundant life. May it be so. Let's begin this community time with a moment of silence to consider what we've heard and sung and prayed thus far. And we pray for the leaders of our church, of Mennonite Church USA, for the time and for the hope that they all give the church. Forgive us when we put forth policies and procedures that feel unfair and unjust to some. Lift us from the smallness of our vision, we pray. For leaders of this nation and all of the nations of this world, we pray that your Spirit would continue to raise up people who are justice-minded, mercy-seeking, those who will offer compassion in all that they do and say. Now bless the gifts that we offer in mind, in financial resources. May they be used to spread your gospel of goodness and mercy here and beyond. In Jesus' name.
As we now close in prayer, keep watch, dear Lord, with those who work, or watch, or weep this day. Tend the sick, Lord Christ, give rest to the weary, bless the dying, soothe the suffering, pity the afflicted, shield the joyous, and all